My dad taught me a lot about treat people as you'd want to be treated. It didn't matter who they were or where they were. I used to see how he treat the elevator starter at the First National Bank of Tulsa. I'd see how he treat people at the country clubs, in the locker room, the caddies on the golf course. It didn't matter who you were, he treated everybody with respect. And I learned a great lesson by just watching that, and fortunately picked up most of that. And my dad always wanted to help people in need, and it's exactly what I do. My wife and I give an enormous amount of money away every year. We give it for education. We give it for medical science and research. We give it for the arts. It's just something that has been in my blood for a long, long time. I get as much pleasure out of that as I do from my day-to-day business, quite frankly. You can see where you help somebody in need. It doesn't matter whether it's a young kid who you're helping with their education, putting them through school, and you see what can come of that. I'm a big believer that in education, all you want to do is give somebody a chance. If somebody's educated, they can never take that away from you. You can lose your money, you can lose your health, but you'll never lose that education that you have if you're diligent about it. It's in your mind, it's yours. So I've been a big supporter of various schools. I give a lot of scholarships away every year. I am currently chairman of Sponsors for Educational Opportunity, which is an 8-year program in New York and in San Francisco, which takes kids in the 9th grade through college. It's one of the very few programs that's a through college program, an 8-year program. About 80% of our kids graduate from college in 4 years, and 95% graduate in 6 years or less. These are all minority kids, come from household incomes of $33,000 or less. I've really enjoyed building that up and helping. It's been around 55 years, so I took it over when it was 50 years old. I started a drug and substance abuse program in the middle schools in New York to help kids overcome drug use. My wife and I at Memorial Sloan Kettering in New York, we gave them about 5 years ago a $100 million grant to start a Center for Molecular Oncology, which is state-of-the-art in understanding mutations and which drugs go with which mutations to kill the mutations that cause the cancer. At Rockefeller University, I built a huge science center with 25 new labs. Rockefeller University is one of the foremost research institutions in the country. There are more Nobel Prize winners there than there are at any other university, whether it's Harvard or MIT or Caltech or whatever. So those are the kinds of things I like to do in the arts. We've given an enormous amount of money both to the Metropolitan Museum in New York and to Museum of Modern Art in New York. My wife, Marie-Jose, was president for 15 years at MoMA. She's also today chairman of Sloan Kettering Research Institute, which is part of Memorial Sloan Kettering. It's all the research side of that institution. We do a lot of things together and separately, but both of us believe very strongly in philanthropy, and I don't like to use the term give back. I didn't take anything from society. I like to give, so it's not a question of giving back. It's a question of helping those in need and helping those institutions become the greatest institution that they possibly can be. So in my case, I love starting new not-for-profits, or I like fixing not-for-profits and making them much better. What I'm not particularly interested in or good at is just being involved with an institution where I can't make a big difference. So I try to find those institutions where actually I can make a difference and be real value added. I started something in New York about 23 years ago, which was called the Fund for New York City. I started thinking about what is missing in New York. You know, I wanted the private sector and the public sector to work together. When I think about what the private sector has done for cities and how they built a good network, I think of cities like, in those days, Minneapolis was great, Kansas City being another, but New York was certainly not one of those cities. Everybody did their own thing and didn't really work together. So I had an idea that I wanted to go out and raise $100 million. I wanted to go to 100 people and raise $1 million each, no more, no less, and help our community by helping businesses in the inner city. And if we could create jobs and create value in those companies where they could be sustainable, then I thought we would be helping the city dramatically. And that's exactly what we did. The first 53 people I called on, I raised $52 million at $1 million each. I stopped raising money at that point because I was worried that we couldn't put it to work intelligently. I said, let's stop. Let's see how we can do. We never raised any more money. We today have about $150 million in that fund. It's just from making money on some of the investments that we have made to date. I'm very proud of that. And I started a drug and substance abuse program for the middle schools in New York to help the worst performing schools. That was great. Finally, I stopped it because I didn't want to really go out and raise a lot of money for it. But I liked the concept and it worked. It basically was to replicate what my parents did for me, but do that in the inner city. Because most of those kids are lucky if they have one parent. They don't have two parents. And that one parent, it'll be a mother in most cases. And if they're lucky, that parent has an eighth grade education. Getting through middle school, making sure they weren't on drugs was a very important part of what I wanted to do there. And it worked. It was a very successful program. These are things that I really enjoy doing. I guess I got that gene from my father particularly, but both my mother and father were very philanthropic, very willing to help people in need. And as I made more money, I said, I want to make sure that I can help people. And hopefully I'm going to get a lot of pleasure out of doing that. It's exactly what happened.
You draw a lot of values, Oklahoma values, through your parents. Your father was very involved in Tulsa, and so was your mother. I have a list here. He was a board member of the St. John Medical Center Foundation, on the executive committee of the Boy Scouts of America, many others. And then a $52 million performance center named in his honor in West Palm Beach to show how people really respected him. And so you are, in many, many ways, a fortunate person, but it all started in Tulsa with your parents.
Without a doubt. People always ask me, so how do you think about the values that you have? And how do you think about the way you're driven and all? And I said, I can point back to the greatest mentor that I possibly could have ever had, and that was my dad. He was very proud of me. I was headstrong, and of course, when you're young and you think you know better than your parents, he and I used to clash, but then and I finally cooled down. In a calm moment, I'd start to think about it, and I'd say, you know, he's probably right. In hindsight, as I've now have children and grandchildren, I look back and I said, oh, was he and my mother right? My mother used to have a saying, and I always remembered it. You know, I said, look, you're going to Europe, and I'd love to go with you. And when I was much younger, she'd always say, you have to earn the right. And I never quite understood what that meant, earn the right. I said, you know, I've got reasonably good grades at school. I haven't flunked out and so on. She says, no, when you're ready, you'll know when you're ready, and we'll know when you're ready, and that's when you can go with us. But as far as we're concerned right now, you haven't earned the right to go to Europe with us. So I never went to Europe until I was in business school. I went to Columbia University, to the business school at Columbia. It was after my first year there that I was able to scrape enough money together and buy a cheap ticket, sort of package deal, and go skiing in Europe and go to Europe. But I was so excited about being there. Today, kids go, my gosh, they go at the drop of a hat. They go all over the world today. I didn't do that and couldn't do it because couldn't afford it. My parents gave me terrific values. They gave me the value of self-esteem. They gave me the value of the reward for working hard, paying attention to the goals that you set and work toward those goals and then set new goals and keep pushing those goals out. They gave me a credible value of knowing how to treat other people. Always with the thought of treat people like you'd want to be treated. I try to do that always, and it doesn't matter who you are. I don't like those people that only want to be nice to people that they consider their equal or above them as far as maybe they got money or something like that. I don't buy that for a minute. I've got good friends, you know, the guys in our lobby here at our office building, our security people. I've got friends that are the caddies on the golf course and so forth. I love doing something for these people and just helping them out because they weren't given some of the same opportunities that I have.